Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
The Bible reminds us many times in many places that God does not show favoritism. Does that mean God doesn't favor some people more than others? No, that's not what it means. God does favor some people more than others, so then what does it mean? And why is it so important that the Bible writers find it necessary to remind us of it so many times?
One of the most unsettling things that can happen when I read my Bible is when I discover that something is especially important to God, and it's not really been that important in my thinking. For whatever reason, there's certain sins that we're really hyper aware of. We know, we think of them. Yeah, those are sins, and we're on the lookout for those. They're on our radar. There's other sins that are barely on our radar. They matter to God a lot, but they don't really seem to matter in our hearts very much. One sin you don't hear much about is the one that James is going to speak about and actually devote the whole first half of chapter 2 warning us about, namely favoritism. Look at verse 1 in your Bible. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Now that word translated favoritism literally means to accept the face or to lift up the face. It's when you make a judgment about a person based on their face, based on what you see when you look at them on the outside, the things that are external. And you decide how you're going to treat that person, how you're going to think about that person based on superficial factors instead of factors that really matter. You base your way of thinking, your way of looking at them on things like wealth or physical attractiveness. Favoritism is when you treat someone with favor. You do something good for them. You have a favorable attitude towards them on the basis of something that shouldn't be the basis. In all the years I've been doing prayer groups, I have never heard... I've heard a lot of sins confessed. I've heard a lot of people ask for various things in their spiritual lives. I don't think I've ever heard somebody ask for prayer to help them overcome the sin of favoritism. This is one of those sins that I don't know if it's on our radar. You don't hear a lot of sermons on this topic. I don't know of a single book on this topic. No one ever comes to me for counseling saying, help me overcome favoritism. Just an issue people don't see as being a huge deal, and yet to God, it is a big deal. There are at least seven different places in the Bible that I found where the writer gives the explicit statement, God does not show favoritism. It's repeated so many times. God really wants us to know that about Him. He does not show favoritism, and that really became clear when God became human flesh. He put on human flesh and He walked among us in the person of Jesus Christ. He was someone who didn't show favoritism. In fact, in Mark 12, some Pharisees and Herodians came to Jesus and they said, Teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with truth. So even Jesus' enemies had to admit, one thing about this guy, he just doesn't show favoritism. He doesn't pay any attention. He can be talking to a king or anybody, and he doesn't treat him any different based on that stuff. God doesn't show favoritism, and He commands us to follow that example in Leviticus 19:15. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. And it's a topic that, if it doesn't really matter much in your heart, think about how much it matters to God. It mattered to Paul in 1 Timothy 5:21. He says, I charge you. Listen to this language. He's talking to Timothy. I charge you in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. He's worked up about this. Favoritism is a big deal. So is discrimination. Discrimination is the other side of that same coin. See, this is a double-sided sin. The other side of the coin of favoritism is discrimination. And you see that in verse 4. He says, have you not discriminated among yourselves? When you show somebody special favor because of some superficial thing, that's favoritism. When you show somebody disfavor because of those same superficial criteria, that's called discrimination. Favoritism is like a judge taking a bribe. And whenever a judge does that, it hurts in two ways. There's two injustices being done. One is the rich person gets special treatment for bad reasons, and the poor person is denied justice for bad reasons. Favoritism is when you treat people differently based on shallow criteria, bogus criteria. But if you treat people differently based on the right criteria, God's criteria, that's good. God does treat people differently, doesn't he? Doesn't God treat people differently? Some people go to heaven, some people go to hell. He definitely treats people differently, but he never does it based on superficial criteria, always on his criteria. So that gives you the basic definition. That's what favoritism is. That's the sin that we're being commanded not to commit. Then, in verse 2, he's going to give us an example, and that's helpful because a lot of times, if you want to try to understand something, examples help more than definitions. So let's look at the example, verse 2. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. Now, in that culture, that was a display of wealth, a lot of wealth. The average person just didn't go around wearing a gold ring. Kings did that. Really rich people who wanted to show their wealth did that. This would be like a visitor walking into Agape sporting a Rolex, you know, or he rolls up in a Bentley wearing a $5,000 suit and walks in. That kind of a person. Verse 2, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. Now, there's different words in the Greek for poor. This is the most extreme. This is the word for a beggar, someone who is absolutely destitute and dependent on people supplying him so to even eat. Picture a homeless person walking into the church. That word translated shabby is actually the word filthy. In fact, remember in chapter 1 when he says, get rid of all moral filth, get rid of all the filth out of your heart? That's the same word. Filthy clothes. So picture this homeless beggar who's filthy and smelly, and he walks in right behind this guy with the Rolex and the $5,000 suit. Verse 3. If you show special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but to the poor man you say, you stand here or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Now this example that James gives us might seem a little extreme to us. We would never tell a visitor to sit on the floor at our feet. I mean, in this culture, we just wouldn't do that. In that culture, it was probably fairly standard practice, just the way they were. Rich people get seats of honor, poor people sit on the floor. That's just the way it was, and that attitude leaked into the church. In our culture, where God's word has had more effect, we usually don't take it quite that far, but even in our culture, there are differences in the way that we treat wealthy people and poor people, aren't there? Attractive people and unattractive people, especially. What do you think would happen if Peyton Manning came here and visited this morning? He just walked in and said, I'm looking for a church. And if you're not into football, you just fill in the celebrity's name. Prince William, Carrie Underwood, Tim McGraw, Bill Gates, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, whoever you know of. Someone really rich. A celebrity walks in and they actually came here this morning. You show up, you're like 10 minutes early for church. You see them walk in immediately. You know right exactly who they are. And the same Sunday, a filthy, smelly, homeless person comes in. Do you think there'd be any difference in the way those two people were treated? Look at the beginning of verse 3. He says, if you show special attention, that word, it literally just means to look at with favor. To look. So to begin with, this sin has to do with the way you look. Before there's any good or bad treatment, before there's any special treatment or poor treatment or any of that, any treatment, the beginning point is just the way that you look at the person. It's an attitude. Would you look at the celebrity with more favor in your eyes than the homeless man? See this again down in verse 4. You become judges with evil thoughts. See, discrimination is not mainly a matter of how you treat people. It's fundamentally a matter of how you think about people and how you feel about people and how you look at them.
We generally don't make much of the fact that God shows no favoritism. I've never seen that in the list of God's attributes. I don't remember hearing a praise song about God not showing favoritism. For whatever reason, it's an attribute of God that we just kind of take for granted. But think for a minute about what it would be like if God didn't have that attribute. Imagine what it'd be like if God judged you the same way the world does. If you don't look like a supermodel, God just ignores you. If you're too old or too young, he doesn't take you seriously. You try to pray, but you can't get an audience with God if you're not famous. You get mistreated, and you cry out to God for justice, but you don't have enough money, so God rules in favor of the rich guy. You don't have anything to enrich God, so he just ignores you. You ask him for something, and he says, "You come to me asking for that, wearing sweats? Are you serious? And look at your hair. And when are you going to get a handle on your weight? You're pathetic. Go bug someone else." You want to serve the body of Christ and play a role in the kingdom of God, and the Holy Spirit says, "No college degree? 2.4 GPA in high school? Yeah, I don't think so." Life would be absolutely intolerable if God lacked this one attribute. How about going through this day today, just watching for all the moments that would be different if God judged you the way the world judges people? And let each example increase your love for him and your gratitude for the fact that he shows you favor rather than showing favoritism.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.